God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I don't know how many of you have ever heard any jokes revolving around St. Peter and that pearly gates. And you might be thinking, where do those pearly gates come from? We know about St. Peter being one of the apostles, but where do the pearly gates come from? Well, on your insert, if you turn to the second part of that on the outline, you see a Bible passage from Revelation chapter 21, verse 21, referring to the picture that God gives St. John in his revelation about what heaven is like. And this picture is described this way: and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. So if you're ever wondering in those jokes, where did the pearly gates come from? It's from the revelation of St. John, chapter 21, verse 21. Now, I will admit, one of my favorite jokes about those pearly gates and St. Peter being there is one in which St. Peter is there with the book of life, so to speak, checking in people, determining whether they are going to heaven or they're going to hell. And at that pearly gate, here comes a gentleman, and St. Peter asks him his name, and he tells his name. And then St. Peter says, by the way, what did you do while you were on earth? And the gentleman says, you know, I was a CEO of an HMO organization. Basically, I determined how long people were going to spend in the hospital, and whether they were ready to go home or not was irrelevant. I just put down a certain number, and then they went home, regardless whether they were ready or not. To which the crowd behind this man was starting to grumble. A lot of them had also been in the hospital and had also been discharged a little too soon, and so they were thinking, St. Peter can't allow this person to be with us in heaven above, could he? And St. Peter looks this man straight in the eye and smiles and says, I see your name here in the book of life. By all means, come enter the joyous glory of heaven above. Oh, but by the way, you can only stay 3 days. Now, I will admit that is just a fictional joke. Where does this idea come in that St. Peter is the one who gets to decide who goes into heaven and who doesn't get to go to heaven? Well, actually, our gospel reading for today brings some connective point to here. In our gospel reading for today, we have Jesus asking his own disciples, who do the people say that I am? It's always interesting. Whenever you're talking with people, do they always speak with what's on their mind? And are they willing to own up to that? Or are they willing to say, well, you know, I hear some people say this and some people say that. Apparently the disciples were also guilty of this. So Jesus sort of begs that question, well, what do the people say? You know, doing sort of a balance check with the disciples here. And the answer was, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he's going to ask the question a little bit more pointed. What about you? Let's put the disciples on the spot. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter steps forward and basically says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That bold confession of faith, Jesus says to Peter, you didn't come up with this on your own. God is the one who gave that to you. And it is this confession of faith that I will build my church. This is going to be the foundation of this church. And hell cannot take away this foundation. Sin cannot take away this foundation. Death cannot take away this foundation. And now we have the Bible passage as Jesus gives the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This key to the kingdom of heaven is based upon the foundation of the forgiveness of sins through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is what Peter was saying. Peter was saying, you are the Christ. Now, some of you have noticed that in the midst of some of my sermons and in the midst of liturgy, I will toss in that phrase when I'm talking about Jesus being the Christ. So what's so important about that being the foundation of our faith that opens up heaven and closes heaven? Well, let's put it this way. In today's world, there are many people who have the name Jesus. They may pronounce it a little bit differently, maybe Jesus, but either way, it seems to be spelt like Jesus. I even met one gentleman whose first name was Lord. I met another gentleman whose Chinese name basically meant heavenly being. Another reference to the deity. So how do we sort these people out, so to speak? Many people talk about me and Jesus, we're just good buddies. Well, fair enough, my dog and I are good buddies. But there isn't a saving relationship there. When Peter here is talking about Jesus being the Christ, he's talking more than just me and Jesus being good buddies here and just hanging out. He's talking about Jesus being the one who's going to suffer and die on the cross. The anointed one, the promised Messiah. This isn't some casual relationship. This is a relationship that's now salvific. One that is going to save you, redeem you. This isn't some drinking buddy type person. This is one who's going to deliver me from sin, death, and the devil. That's why the phrase, the Christ, is so very, very important. We're just not talking about somebody of ours. We're talking about God himself. And it is this confession of faith that makes the church. What is the church? You see, too often we get some misconceptions. We start thinking about Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church here in West Chicago, Illinois, as the church. Well, bottom line, really, Trinity Lutheran Church in West Chicago, Illinois, is just some brick and mortar. It is a place in where the people of God will gather to hear God's word and to receive his sacraments. It is not the church. It is a building. The church really is something that's invisible. The church is the community of believers. Those who truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, not just some friend. That really looks to Jesus as their savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that's why it's invisible. Because who can really look and discern into the heart? I cannot. I cannot sit there and look at my congregation and say, you believe, you believe, you believe. But by the way, the person over there doesn't believe. That's why the Christian church is invisible. It surpasses throughout time and eternity. It is made up of all believers who put their faith and trust in the Christ for their salvation. This is the foundation of that church, which is based upon the forgiveness of sins, which is very, very important. Because of this base of the forgiveness of sins, the church is now holy. Even though we are sinners, and we still believe and trust in Jesus Christ as the one who delivers us from sin. Because of that relationship now, Christ covers up our sins. We appear before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as holy, without any sin, without any blemish, because of what Christ has done. The church is also universal. It is not just made up of members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's not just made up of Lutherans. It is made up of all people who believe and trust in Jesus Christ, his death as that atoning work for our salvation. Needless to say, that last point on our outline, what is the church, may be a stumbling block for some of you, that there is no salvation outside of this saving relationship. There are not many paths to get to heaven, but there is only one foundation, one key to heaven, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Hence, there's a little bit of a graphic on our next to our outline, and on that graphic you have a key, and superimposed above the key is the crucifix, reminding us that, yes, it is Jesus' death on the cross that is that key to heaven. And we call this the office of the keys. The office of the keys that sort of open heaven's doors or close those doors. And so what is the criteria that those doors are open that you're able to get into heaven? Basically, Christ. Do you believe that Jesus the Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins? That is an atoning work for you? If so, those doors are open. If not, those doors are closed. Plain and simple. The key unlocks the door. That is Jesus the Christ. Opening the door of heaven is basically done by the forgiveness of sins, what Christ has done for us. As a result, we have a great appreciation and love for what Christ has done for us. We take that love and we cherish that love. And we do what with that love? We also want to share that love. But I will admit there are some times in our lives when our sinful nature sort of kicks in. And when our sinful nature kicks in, we might start getting a little angry with other people. How many times have we ever been angry with somebody that we sort of slammed the door in their face? I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you. I have. I was trying to make an evangelism visit upon somebody, and it was someone who attended the Vacation Bible School, the church where I was serving, and someone opened the door who wasn't necessarily responsible for taking the kids to Vacation Bible School and wasn't happy that they went to Vacation Bible School and literally slammed the door in my face. I didn't take it personally. What they were really doing was slamming the door upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. But what happens when we get angry and we slam the door in others' people's faces? Now, that may occur literally, but it also may occur figuratively. And let me explain it this way. Sometimes in our anger, and we slam that door and we shut other people out of our lives because of our anger and frustration. We want to say, I want nothing to do with you anymore. That is sort of like slamming the door in their face. We are pushing them out of our lives. We are saying, I no longer want to forgive you. And we slam the door. Well, there's a relationship here, as our outline says, when we slam the door and lock it upon others and upon Christ. You see, that relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is based upon forgiveness. God forgiving us, we in turn forgiving other people. We say this in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us or trespass against us. So what happens when we slam the door in other people's face? What happens when our anger pushes others out of our lives? In one essence, we in turn are slamming the door upon Christ himself. Christ who says, I want you to love. Christ who says, I want you to forgive others. And we sit there and say to Christ, I'll take your forgiveness. I'll take your love, but I don't want to share it. I don't want to forgive someone else until they meet my expectations, until they meet my satisfaction, until they pay the price. Well, if you take those last few questions and statements and you bring it back to Christ, is that how Christ treats you? Does he say you're only forgiven if you do things my way? Does he say you're only forgiven if you live up to my standards? Does he say, I will hold the gates of heaven conditional based upon your performance? And the answer is no. We have a loving, gracious God who even in the midst of our sin and our rebellion still loves us. We have a loving, gracious God that even though we may slam the door in other people's face, he does not slam the door upon us as long as we realize that he is the Christ. You see, When we fail to realize that he is the Christ, we actually slam the door upon Christ. You see, Christ opens the door for us. We are the ones who slam doors. Christ never slams doors upon other people. He is the one who has his arms open wide upon the cross, who dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He's not the one who closes heaven's doors. So you may ask the question, well then, who's the one who closes the doors? Christ is the key who opens the door. Unfortunately, it's our sinful nature that slams doors upon Christ and upon others. So now what do we do with this foundation and the key to heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ? We have to realize that our sinful nature is strong. We want to slam the door. We want to push people out of our lives. But then the Spirit within us sits there and says, wait a minute, we better not. Because this is also going to impinge upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and that relationship that we have with him. Because of that, Christ continues to call us to love and to forgive our neighbor no matter what sin they have done against us or against Christ. Christ doesn't take it personally. He loves and forgives. We are the ones who take it personally. So we ask the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts, to live among us, to soften our hardened hearts, so that we may not get angry with our neighbor, our friends, our relatives, so that we may continue to show his love and his forgiveness, because Christ is that key to heaven. He is the one who unlocks the pearly gates. He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So this day we give our great praise to thanks to God that he has opened heaven's gates. And we ask him to send his Holy Spirit upon us so that we may not shut and slam the door in our relationship to other people nor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask the Lord to soften our hearts with his love and forgiveness so that we in turn may show that love and forgiveness to those around us. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.